Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It's great to have you joining with us. We're so glad if it's your first time joining or if you've joined in many times before. It's wonderful to be together as church family from far and wide. My name's Katrina and I'm part of the ministry team here and I'll be leading the service as we continue looking at the Apostles' Creed. And today we're going to think about the three parts of the Apostles' Creed, the Trinity. Who is the Trinity and what does that mean? And why do we worship God as three in one? So we'll be thinking more about that later as we go on. But right now, I'm going to pray for us. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I wonder how your week has been this week. I wonder if there's been good days, probably some bad days or moments that have been difficult. And we know, looking at just this last week, there is brokenness in this world. The world is not as it should be. People are hurting. People are angry. People have not been treated well. And we know that on some level, all of us are part of that. And so we come now to our confession, the time where we can turn back to God and say we're sorry for all that we have done, for the things we've thought, said, and done, for the wider things going on in our world. But we do so with confidence, knowing that He forgives us and that He gives us a second chance. And so I'm just going to give you a moment to think about your weeks and think about what's gone on. But Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Tom now as he introduces our theme for the day.
Think with me of someone you know who you haven't always known, someone that you remember when you met them, and then you got to know them better. You learned their name for a start. Perhaps you discovered where they live, where they come from. Perhaps you found out what food they love eating and what they wouldn't touch with a 10-foot barge pole. You got to know them better and better over time. How did you do that? How did you get to know them better? Well, my guess is you listened to what they said and you watched what they did. And that's just what we've been doing with God these last few weeks in our services as we've looked together at the Apostles' Creed. We've been getting to know better the God in whom we put our trust. And today we see that our God is Trinity, that He is one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, some Christians at this point get a little bit anxious because Trinity sounds complicated and we're worried about getting it wrong. Well, don't worry, because whether or not you've ever heard the word Trinity, this is the God you know if you follow Jesus. And today is a chance to get to know him a little bit better. And we're going to do that just quickly through one story from Jesus' life. And I've got a clue on my shirt as to what that story is. There we go. On my shirt, there are some white doves on a blue background. And there is a story in the Gospels of Jesus' life where there's some water and there's a dove. It's the story of Jesus' baptism. And we're going to read it from Matthew chapter 3. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus in the water has just been baptized, and then a voice comes from heaven, and then the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove and lands on him. Do you see our one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We have Jesus the Son standing in the water. We have the Father speak from heaven. And then we have the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove. We have one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this story is very helpful because it clears up some of the confusions we sometimes have. Sometimes we talk as if we have one God who sometimes acts like a father, other times acts like a son, other times acts like the Holy Spirit, as if he's playing dressing up. I don't know if you have a dressing up box. I do. Of course, it's only for talks like this. So you might have a crown that you wear and you can act like a king. You might have a mask, so you can act like a superhero. And you might have a sombrero to keep the sun off when it's pretty hot. And people have a similar picture of God sometimes. They say sometimes he acts like he's the Father. And then other times he acts like he's the Son. And then sometimes he acts like the Holy Spirit. But that isn't the God that we meet in this passage. In this God, we see we have one God who is always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who work together in our rescue. In our passage that we just read, we have the Father speaking about his Son, saying how he delights in him as he sends him off to do his work to rescue us. Well, we see that the Son delights his Father as he obeys him and goes to fulfill his plan to rescue us. We see the Father send the Spirit on the Son so that he can do his work of rescuing us. And then last week at Pentecost, we heard how both the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit on God's people so that we can do the work he's given us to do. You see, we believe in this God, the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the God we're going to learn more about today.
The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, welcome to Lawrence Sheriff School, and welcome to the head teacher's office. I know from experience that lots of people have mixed feelings about coming into the head's office, perhaps based upon their own experience and memories of school. But don't worry, I promise you're quite safe, and I definitely won't be putting anybody in detention. Well, I don't know what your experience of the past few weeks during lockdown has been. For me, my routine hasn't really altered very much. The schools remained open for the children of key workers and various others. So in many ways, my routine hasn't altered. But whether your experience is similar or life has been very, very different over recent months, a recent survey said that one thing that had changed for all of us was the amount that we read. A survey was done for World Book Day, and coming out of that, they found that most people said they had doubled the amount of time that they spent reading each week. Now, I wonder what your favourite type of book to read is. Don't tell anyone, but I've got a bit of a confession. You might think that I go for something very literary, but no. Whodunit is definitely my preferred choice of fiction. Often when you're dealing with rather unpredictable events, and dare one say it, sometimes unpredictable people as well, being able to read something where there's a clear set of rules and you're pretty confident that by the end of the novel there is going to be a resolution with everything put back in place and in order, well, that's quite a relaxing experience. Now, my choice of detective is pretty much mainstream. My favourite is Sherlock Holmes, and I think I've read all of the novels by Arthur Conan Doyle. But also I've spent many enjoyable hours in the company of Monsieur Hercule Poirot, and also rather partial to modern detectives such as Vera, who's often on our screens on ITV on a Sunday evening. But I wonder if you've ever come across this character, who was actually more popular than any of them during the 1930s. His name is Lord Peter Wimsey, and with the help of his trusty butler, he would solve a whole series of mysteries that had foxed the combined brains of Scotland Yard, and by the end of about 250 pages would come and reveal the resolution to whatever it was that had been baffling the combined detective force of England. And those books were written by a committed Christian, Dorothy L. Sayers. And at the height of her fame, she was asked, "What is the greatest mystery that you have ever written?" And she said, well, it wasn't actually one of the Lord Peter Wimsey novels. It was a book called The Mind of the Maker. And in that book, she tried to explore the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And she said it was about the most exciting drama that ever staggered the imagination of man. Well, our series on the Apostles' Creed focuses this week upon the Trinity and that relationship. And you'll notice if you look at the Apostles' Creed, it doesn't say at any point, "I believe in the Trinity." Instead, as we've seen and heard over recent weeks, it goes through and unpacks and explores the nature of each member of the Godhead. And it would be a reasonable question to ask, why is it that those early church fathers thought it was so important to have this focus upon the three parts of the Godhead? Well, one explanation is that there was so much misunderstanding around. I did an internet search and I gave up after I'd listed 10 different heresies about the Trinity that were being circulated around the time that the Apostles' Creed was put together. So those early church fathers wanted to say, look, this is the settled belief of the church about that relationship, the relationship that our passage for today just digs into a little bit further and helps us understand. And Paul, when he writes about the Trinity in Ephesians, wants to say, look, I'm not dealing here with a piece of abstract thought and a concept. Instead, the Trinity is wonderful news because it's a three-in-one expression of God's love for us. So when Paul says towards the start of a passage in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, he shows us that the intention of a loving God to bless us is accomplished when Jesus comes into this world. God's fatherly love for us and desire to bring us into his family is achieved by the death of Jesus on the cross, so that we can be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And that relationship between Father and Son is an expression of that love, shown by his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. And over all of this, the Holy Spirit acts as a seal. Now, a seal would be an identifying mark, often placed on a letter or some other document. And the idea was that it showed that what was in the letter came from the person whose seal was on the front, on the outside. And so the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in us is proof and a witness to others of the truth of all that the Father and Son have done and of their love towards us. But in the end, through this passage from Ephesians and what's written in the Creed, we haven't got here a piece of theology, a detailed breakdown or analysis of a relationship. What we have is a wonderful celebration of the richness of the way in which each part of the Godhead works together. The word that was used most commonly by those early church fathers to describe the work of the Trinity is perichoresis, the origin of our word choreography. And perichoresis would mean literally to dance or to flow around. Each member of the Trinity loves, adores, and rejoices in the other. And this creates a dynamic and pulsating dance of joy and love. Now, you might be listening to this and hearing me talk about this idea of a dance and saying, Peter, I never had any idea you were so interested in contemporary dance, and you'll have to show us one or two moves. Well, it's time to come clean and be honest. I'm a terrible dancer. I have a natural gift of non-coordination. I remember when Sean and I were planning our wedding over 30 years ago, and we thought, well, what can we do for all of these guests who've travelled to the Gower Peninsula? We've got to do something as part of our evening function. And someone suggested, I know, why don't we have a disco? And I thought, no, it would be far too embarrassing, because my version of disco dancing is anyone else's version of falling over. There was only one form of dance that I was willing to agree to, and that was a barn dance, because everybody joined in and therefore no one noticed when the groom seemed to be making a whole load of mistakes. And of course, there's also a caller who's there and tells you what to do. And you know, the work of the Trinity is just like that. A wonderful dance that we're all encouraged to join. And as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit flow around one another, they don't look at us and say, well, isn't this great? It must be really enjoyable to watch us. No, no, no. Instead, they invite us to join in. And the great thing in a dance is you don't have to intellectualize or think it through or understand the reason behind each step. You just let it happen. In the end, we're not invited to understand every part of that relationship between the Godhead and why it works as it does. There's a few different creeds in the prayer book. One of them is the Athanasian Creed, and this puts it wonderfully. It says, the Father is incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost incomprehensible, and yet there are not three incomprehensibles, but one incomprehensible. God doesn't ask for our intellectual analysis. Despite being in the head teacher's office, this sermon will not be followed by a written test, although of course that could be arranged if anyone would like one. Instead, he calls us to the dance. Come and be part of that process, which Paul himself describes in this passage as a mystery, and which will only reach its fulfillment when that heavenly dance brings, in the words of Paul, all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now, what's the worst thing you could do during a barn dance? Well, I can think of a few things, but probably the answer would be to sit on the sidelines, trying to work out, trying to analyse what's going on. There's no fun in doing that. How do you enjoy a dance? You don't analyse it, you join it. And what's the mood during a dance? You don't see people with long faces looking very sombre and putting forward complex theological analysis. Well, not at any dances I've been to recently anyway. You come to have fun and to enjoy yourself. And this is the news that Paul brings to his readers in this passage from Ephesians. Not a complex piece of theology about the Trinity. He's telling us about a wonderful heavenly party, a cause for celebration. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's a party in heaven, and the brilliant news is that we also were chosen. You also were included. Father, Son, and Spirit are dancing together, and we're invited to dance with them. So, how do we react to that invitation? Do we say, do you know what, could I just spend a little bit more time in reflection and analysis? What was that word, perichoresis again? No. We rush in and we join the celebration. That celebration of the greatest mystery ever. As God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit choose to dance with and make us part of their plan to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. Amen.
Well, we come now to the time that I've been really enjoying as we have been looking at the Apostles' Creed, the time where we join together and we say the Apostles' Creed together. We talk about, we declare who it is that we believe in. And I want us to really notice today the three parts of the Apostles' Creed as we've thought about the Trinity and who God is. Think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and what it is and who it is that we believe in and all that he has done for us. So join with me and delight in these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Charlie now as he brings us some notices of things that are coming up in our church life.
Hi, my name is Charlie. I'm the vicar of Lutterworth, Coates, Batchelor and Bitterswell. I'm so glad that you're joining us for these Sunday services. I hope you found them uplifting and thought-provoking. I hope that you've met God in what we've been doing together and that you've had a lot of fun. But the fun doesn't end here. There's a couple of things it'd be great if you could do. If you are joining us perhaps for the first time or this is the first time you've connected with one of our churches, please do complete the Connect card. There's a link just beneath this screen on the live section of our website. Give us some contact details. We'd love to welcome you properly to be part of our church. The other thing is that I'm aware that lots of people are chiming into these services. Perhaps for the first time, perhaps coming back to church after a long absence. And whilst I hope you found it really informative and helpful, you might still have lots of questions. And so we are running an online course for the next 6 weeks called Christianity Explored. It's designed to help people to explore the big questions of life. And it might be for you if you've been part of church for a while but would like to go back to the beginning, or whether you're just dipping your toe in the water and would like to explore more. Here's James to tell you a little bit about the course.
Hi, my name's James, and I went on a course a bit like Christianity Explored 23 years ago, and I didn't know much about Christianity at the time, and I found that the course made a huge difference in getting to know more about Jesus. And in fact, it was at the last one of the sessions on the course that I went on that I became a Christian. So 23 years later, I'm helping run Christianity Explored, starting on Thursday the 11th of June at 7:45, and I'd love to invite you to join us. I do hope you will consider coming and hopefully see as many as possible of you at the course.
One of the greatest things I've found about the course is the fact that you get to meet others who also want to know more about their faith and who are all at completely different stages in terms of their journey to know God. I've had the opportunity to ask so many different questions about the word and to find out what it really means to be a Christian, and I've learnt so much from others in the group too. For anyone who's unsure about their faith, it's a great chance to learn more and to ask questions if you want to, but if you prefer to sit quietly and reflect, then that's completely okay too. It's entirely up to you as to what experience you get from the course.
So thanks, that's Thursday evenings from 7:45 on Zoom. Details are on our church websites, or you can get in touch by phone or email with our church office. We'd love to hear from you. Don't miss this opportunity to start this course with us. Other things that are going on, well, please do visit any of our church websites, and you'll find various parts of the website should be helpful to you, both as we think through current issues and as we recap on what we've been looking at recently. There's also a section where we release a daily video, a thought for the day. And we'd love to invite you to join us on that. Just a five or six minute video every day, taking us to a part of the Bible and thinking about what it might mean for us. please do join us on that journey. And if you'd like to contribute to our thought for the day, we'd love it. Perhaps share your favourite Bible verse and what it means to you. We'd love to hear from you. So please do visit a church website for all that.
Let's now spend some time in prayer, bringing before God the needs of the church, the world, and for all who are in need. Each prayer will end with words, God of love. Would you respond by saying with us, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can bring all our concerns to you. On this Trinity Sunday, we remember that you are God the Creator, giving us richly all things to enjoy. You are Christ the Saviour, made human to set us free. You are the Holy Spirit of truth and love, willing to dwell in us. One God, eternal Trinity, be near to us today and always. God of love, hear our prayer.
We thank you for the leaders of our churches, both nationally and locally here in Lutterworth, Bitterswell and Coatsbatch. We pray that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit so that they have the wisdom, energy, patience and compassion to bring the life-transforming hope in Jesus to the communities in which we live. God of love, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are joining the Christianity Explored course on Thursday. We ask that nothing would stop them from coming and that you would bring them back each week. Prepare their hearts, we pray. Help James and the other leaders know how to organise and deliver the course well over Zoom. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for the world and its response to COVID-19. Please guide governments as they balance the need to contain the virus and protect lives with making decisions about jobs and the economy. We ask that they act justly and seek your wisdom in all that they do. We pray for our local crisis action teams. It works with local councils and charities to prepare for the recovery phase. We ask that volunteers will still be able to provide support to vulnerable clients as lockdown is eased and people return to work and other duties. God of love, hear our prayer. In the light of the tragic death of George Floyd, we as brothers and sisters in Christ cry out to you, Lord, for justice. As we stand with those suffering oppression, as we weep with those grieving and in pain. Help us, Heavenly Father, to act against discrimination and systemic racism in our workplaces, our churches, our justice system and wider communities. As your church, we pray that we can unite across all ethnicities in saying and showing that all are created equal, all people bear God's image. God of love, hear our prayer.
We also pray for those locally who face persecution in their own homes, for those experiencing domestic violence, for children trapped in homes filled with conflict. Father, we pray you will support and comfort those suffering in this way. We pray they will find ways of keeping themselves safe. We ask that you will cover them with your protection. God of love, hear our prayer. Jesus, you are light and love. We pray for those who find themselves in the midst of darkness, the darkness of poverty, the darkness of loneliness, the darkness of grief, the darkness of despair, the darkness of illness. Wherever shadows threaten to overwhelm, we pray for your comfort, light, and love. We particularly pray for those we know to be sick and those experiencing loss and grief. We come to you, Jesus, God made flesh, and pray you shine your healing light in our darkness. God of love, hear our prayer. Amen.
Good morning. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you have enjoyed being a part of our online service. I'm just going to pray this prayer, these words that Paul says at the end of 2 Corinthians. These words, I pray these over all of us this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. May we know that that is true this week.